afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Melody Cederstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. And I'm here with my co-host, Alfred Adisk, to bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events. Today is Wednesday, December 20th, 2017. Good afternoon, Al.
Hello, Melody.
Well, only 5 more days till Christmas, and we got a little bit of a Christmas present today. Gold was up $4.20, $1,266.50. Silver was up 7 pennies today at $16.29. Platinum was up 6 at $923. And palladium was up 4 at $1,030. It looks like rhodium is beginning to, go on a tear once again. But
$75 in one day?
Yeah. We've seen gold do that. And
Not for a week or two.
Well, it's been a while. But we're going to see it again. I promise you. And I have no doubt in my mind we're going to see $100 moves in gold and silver, as we have, seen once before, and big moves in silver. But, everything just has to play out. What's surprising is what the paper markets did today, but it's just one day, so we'll see how it ends for the rest of the week. We had the USDX today was a little weaker, down 0.15 at 93.31. Crude oil was up 53 cents at 58.09. Paper markets today, you had the Dow down 28 points at 24,726. The NASDAQ was down 3 at 6,960, and the S&P was down 2 at 2,679. The 10-year yield, that's just the yield, 2.50%, getting closer to that critical area of 2.60%. So the 10-year yield was up 0.03, and the euro was 119, up 0.37. European markets, Germany was down a little over 1%. All others were pretty stagnant. The fear and greed index hasn't really moved in the past couple of days, which is a little surprising, because you'd think, either we're getting buffaloed as far as the optimism to the tax reform. Maybe it isn't that big of a deal to the rest of America out there. Maybe they're just not that excited about it. But they're still going to have a good finish to the year. And we've got 2 days for the paper markets to close. And I'm kind of surprised that these numbers would be down today. There really isn't anything else to to see the little bit of pressure. I mean, they've gone up so much in such a short little time. So I guess a couple point pullback is no big deal. But I would still expect to see the Dow. They're going to try to close the Dow above 25,000 come Friday. And I wouldn't doubt you, they're going to try to get the NASDAQ above 7 for a close. But we'll see. We will see. And so there really isn't, of course, everybody knows the tax. I don't know when he's going to sign it, when the president is going to sign the tax bill. Everybody thinks the market is going to roar. I think the roaring has already been done, but,
Was that roaring I heard?
Roaring. So we'll see if it goes a little bit more. But I didn't know. You have Congress votes to open Alaska refuge to oil drilling. I don't know if that was part that was attached to the tax bill. Congress voted to open Alaska's remote Arctic National Wildlife Refuge to oil and natural gas drilling, ending more than 4 decades of heated debate on this matter. The House voted, mostly along party lines, to pass the Republicans' tax overhaul bill, which has the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge drilling provision attached to it. So it's kind
of had a number of attachments in order to make sure they had a couple people's votes.
I know. And again, there is anything different. You know, it's the same. It's just the same stuff. Doing things at midnight. They shouldn't be allowed to work at midnight. You know, they work till midnight. They pass things at midnight. They pass things at 1 o'clock. So what else was attached to this tax reform?
I heard that Trump said that this tax reform would effectively kill Obamacare. Now, this was not, he didn't imply that, what I saw did not imply that there was an attachment to the tax bill, but if he understands what he's talking about in this situation, he's implying that the new tax structure is going to be such that you won't be able to support Obamacare much longer.
Well, yeah, that's because they're repealing the mandate, so people don't have to buy insurance. So that's a big deal.
Yeah, that's probably true.
So it's not going to get funded. You know, so, I mean, I think that's probably what he was referencing, that the mandate
that maybe
forcing you to, I mean, people bought taxes because they were forced to. And that was my concern. Well, you know, if I don't pay my tax, if I don't pay my health insurance, how much am I going to be penalized?
How much you got?
Huh?
Calculate how much you got and double it. And that'll be the size of your penalty.
Yeah. But the penalty was up to $10,000. Well, that's still cheaper than my health insurance. So that'll be eliminated. So there's a lot of people, when they've had 260% increases in the past 2 years, just like we talked about with Greg Hunter yesterday, they ain't going for it. You know, so, I mean, who wants to pay $20,000 and $26,000 for health insurance? I know people, family of three, paying $26,000. That's what they're expected to pay. Are they insane?
Yeah, I know. That's $2,000 a month.
People don't have
probably
that.
Probably about $600 a week. Not that much. Probably $500, $550, something like that a week, but still.
That's a huge amount for families that have, you know, kids and, you know, everything else.
You ought to be able to declare it as another dependent. You're paying more for health care than you are, than you get a deduction for your children. It's like having another dependent. Guess what? You've got a new dependent, Melody.
Good grief. And it's not like I can pay my health insurance. It's like I don't want to spend, you know, if you pay, you know, $14,000 plus you have a $6,000-$7,000 deductible. You know, you're paying, you know, $20,000.
Yeah, for getting not much in return.
What are you getting? You know, where's that? And I always carry the catastrophic policies because I'm healthy. I always carry the catastrophic. So yeah, so if I keeled over and they took me to the hospital and I survived, yeah, you know, the big bills, yeah, they'd be covered. But you know, I don't have medication or anything like that, so I don't have to worry about prescriptions and, you know, all this kind of stuff. So, you know, it's just, but you don't hear anybody complaining about it. That's what's amazing. Well, they probably are, but they're just not allowing it to be.
You don't hear anybody reporting on the complaints.
Yeah.
You know, if a tree falls in the forest and CBS doesn't report on it, did it make a sound?
Yeah. So, I mean, it's just, yeah. If they repeal the mandate, yeah, there's going to be a lot of people falling away, even those that can't afford the $695 a year. You know, the tax cut's not going to compensate that.
Well, you know there's something wrong as soon as they tell you this is mandatory.
Absolutely.
It's mandatory that you spend some money. What does that mean? It means that anybody with an IQ over 80 could see this is a bad deal. And anyone with an IQ over 80 would say, I don't want any part of this. This is too expensive. So they pass a law and they said, no, it's mandatory because we're so smart in Washington that we know it's good for all you idiots out there in TV land. And you must pay this money. That tells you it's wrong. As soon as they make it mandatory, you know there's something wrong with it. Because if it was all good, we'd all be paying for it.
You know, there was AT&T. I just got this. I don't know. They said AT&T is giving $1,000 bonuses to 200,000 employees after tax bill.
How much? How big a bonus?
$1,000.
Okay.
They said on a press release today it would give more than 200,000 union members a special bonus of $1,000. The company also increased its capital expenditure budget by $1 billion in the U.S. Let's see. And weren't they just trying to buy something, or didn't they just merge? You know, this is probably a little payoff, buyoff.
Oh, I'm sure it is. Well, I'm not going to be surprised. It may be that they've just caught the Christmas spirit and they're handing out free money to their employees. Or maybe they've got something. They've got something that they need a little cooperation for, and so they've made him an offer they can't refuse. How's their pension looking at AT&T?
I don't know.
We're going to give you $1,000. We may not be able to cover your pension. Don't worry about that, because we're going to give you $1,000 right now. Well, you know,
but the
I'm
thing
joking,
of it is,
I'm joking,
Al,
and I'm exaggerating, but just the same.
But, you know, I don't know if there's any, you know, write-offs in addition to that and so forth. But, you know, what I think is great, if, you know, I mean, people should get bonuses and so forth. But what do the stockholders get? Well, tell us about the stockholders. I bet they're going to get more than $1,000.
I'd like to know how much of the $1,000, will the government recover any of that as a tax?
Well, I'm sure in sales tax. People go out and spend it, they'll get sales tax.
Yeah, they'll get that, yeah, yeah. I mean I mean anything like an income tax on that.
Yeah, bonuses are taxed.
And then the government is on that, is on AT&T's Christmas list also. Mm-hmm. We'll give $1,000 to the employees, and they'll probably have to pay $200 out of that $1,000 to the government. Mm-hmm.
I mean, again, I mean, you know, it's just so much fluff and cover-up noise, whatever you want to call it, you know? And, yeah, again, I think it's great that people get bonuses. They shouldn't have to have a $1.5 trillion tax cut for employees to get bonuses. You know, if you're doing a good job, that should be an automatic thing. But, you know, but now that there's a tax cut and so forth, and corporation taxes dropped, and a lot of these corporations, you know, they weren't paying the high tax rate anyway, it's just, you know.
Well, it's the problem with all of this is you look at it long enough and you become so accustomed to the lies and the deception and the fast shuffle and the rest of it, it's difficult not to become cynical about it.
I know.
And sometimes you're mistaken about that, or my own little cynicism can be misleading at times. But I would like to be able to just... I wish that they would... If they're going to deceive me, I wish they would at least do a good job of it. Problem that really bothers me more than anything is so often... It seems like, yes, we're going to deceive you, you know, but we don't care if you know you're being deceived. We're going to do it anyway. They are treating me with disrespect. I demand a higher level of deceit.
Deception.
From our major institutions and government, whatever. I expect you to, you know, not just come up with some stuff that might be able to fool eighth graders. I want some real deception that I can have confidence in and believe in. And I don't see much. I mean, it's again, I'm being cynical, I'm being attempting to be humorous to some degree, but there's also a point to this. As the deception becomes more and more obvious to the people, as we see more and more of it, and the government continues, and the other institutions continues to foist it off on us, to me it's evidence that they're growing increasingly desperate. They have nothing left to do except run around and say there's nothing to worry about even while the ship is sinking. They know the water's pouring through the gap in the hull. It's pouring into the engine room. This whole thing is going to blow up, and they're telling, be calm, everything's okay, it's all under control, just listen to our propaganda, don't bother looking in the engine room to see that the water is, you know, 10 foot deep. To me, it's evidence of a kind of desperation, and that does not bode well for the future. That's the sort of thing you look at. It's, look, if you can't do a better job of lying to me, I have to assume this thing is getting close to something unpleasant.
Yeah, and what it was with the AT&T is that the Justice Department was suing to block AT&T and the Time Warner merger. That's what it was. I couldn't remember Time Warner. So, you know, so they're trying to block that. And so now AT&T comes out and says, oh, well, you know what? We'll help support your program. We'll give these, but you know what? And you're right, Al. It's just like, they don't even do it in a classy manner anymore.
I understand.
You know, it's just, you know, it's insulting. You know?
No, no, that's it.
It's insulting.
You're going to lie to me? Give me a decent lie. I mean, you guys are professionals. Tell me something in a way that maybe I can believe. Oh, I just read some numbers from the, you know, the government, economic numbers. And boy, we know we can believe in those, don't we?
Yeah.
I don't know. It becomes just comical. It becomes comical, cynical, obscene. I don't know. And irrational on top of everything else. The economy, the stock market is at record highs, and that's just going to continue for the next 20 years. You can bet on that. And Bitcoin, well, you know Bitcoin.
Oh, well.
There'll never be a problem with Bitcoin.
Oh,
that's another one in public. You look at this and, oh, my God. It's like people signed up for the Titanic knowing it was going to sink because they got $50 off on passage across the Atlantic Ocean. Such a deal. They couldn't resist getting on a ship that they know is going to sink.
They're fighting to get on.
Yeah, exactly. Fighting. Yeah.
They're fighting.
Government conducting lotteries where if you win, you get a ride, free ride on the Titanic. And I don't know. It's just making me crazy. You know, you look at it and you try to explain what you think is happening to people. And most people don't pay any attention. Some people do, of course, the people in the audience, our audience. But, you know, there's a lot of people in this country that's, you know, give me some stock. Give me some Bitcoin. And I sit here and I don't know. You know, prophet. Can't tell you for sure what's going to happen. But some things look likely to be irrational. And they are virtually certain to collapse sooner or later. They will succumb to reality, and the only thing we don't know is when. And that's true for all of us. We're betting on something. We don't know when it's going to hit the fan, but we're betting it won't happen today or tomorrow. Take a break. Take a couple commercials. Be right back with Melody Cederstrom and myself on Financial Survival. Please stay tuned.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSE Talk Radio. CSETalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Alfred Adisk, and I'm here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver at 1-800-375-4188 for all your gold and silver coin needs. What's next, Melody?
I just want to remind the listeners, we do have the 2018 Silver Eagles. You can lock in. Lots of people are buying boxes of those, get their prices locked in before we go higher on the silver price, and they'll be the first ones shipped out in 2018. It's really hard to imagine 2018.
Yeah, I know. What happened to the last 18? I'm still working on 2000.
2018.
Are you kidding me?
Oh my gosh. And what I just got, can you imagine in 2 years we're going to be saying 2020? 2020. It's frightening, folks. Frightening. Anyway, 1-800-375-4188 for your 2018 Silver Eagles. And they'll be out the first part of January. We'll get them shipped to you as soon as the U.S. Mint releases them. We got the boxes of 500. They are sealed. And but we do have some older dates, too. If you want to save a few pennies, we can offer you some backdated Silver Eagles at a little bit of a lower cost. So give us a call at 1-800-375-4188. All your 20-plus Silver Eagles, free shipping for the end of the month, till the end of the month. 20-plus Silver Eagles, free shipping. Visit our website at dgscoins.com, dgscoins.com. Make sure you sign up for our weekly newsletter. And, of course, these programs are archived on a daily and longer-term basis. So whenever you feel like listening to Financial Survival, just go to dgscoins.com. And one of these days, I don't know if we have it to where you can listen on your podcasts and all that kind of stuff. We're going to come into the world of technology here.
And move right into the 20th century, Melody.
Oh, wait. I won't wait
21st
until 21st
century. The 21st century is where we are. Good. I'm still getting adjusted to the 20th century. It really is amazing.
Truly.
I mean, the technology and the rest of that sort of thing. You get the little cell phone, smartphones. Really an extraordinary, incredible technology. And we used to see things like that in sci-fi movies. Here comes Star Trek, and they've got these communicators and whatever else and these other devices. And they seem so miraculous in the movies, and we've got them now. And most of us just take it for granted. Nothing miraculous there. Just a little machine. I mean, it's nice to have and that sort of thing. But it really is extraordinary technology that's available to people right now, and who knows how that's going to work out. You know, we were talking go ahead.
Just you know, you're talking about technology, though. This morning I talked about there was a report about 8 in 10 Americans are afflicted by stress. And you would think that with the creation of the cell phones and so forth, they would make it a little bit less stressful, but it really doesn't. It doesn't.
No, I know.
But what was interesting that I brought this up was many periods of time that shows the higher levels of stress was always right prior to a recession when the economies are going great. I mean, you would just think the opposite. You know, when things are going great, you'd be less stressed. But it shows that, you know, like right before the peak times of going into, this goes back, I think the numbers I saw were back into the 70s and 80s, I kind of followed it, and I didn't look at it that closely, but every time there was a recession, it showed like right before there was like little peaks of additional stress. And of course, now we're at a higher time of stress. So there were 4 in 10 U.S. adults who said they lack the time to do all they want, and a 44% frequently feels stressed. So those are pretty some high numbers when you have a great economy and supposedly everybody's working and enjoying the good life.
Optimism is rising.
Yeah.
It was, yay, you know, the crisis is past.
And so is the optimism is rising, and along that comes stress, and you would think it would be just the opposite, but it's kind of interesting.
You know, we talk about that optimism rising. We've seen it rising in Japan. We've seen it rising in the United States, where at least we have reports that it's rising, and who knows what it's really doing. I don't know. You hear reports, you have to assume that they are valid. But if optimism is rising, it should follow that people are buying more for Christmas. We're willing to go into debt, going to get the kids whatever it was they really wanted, because things are going to get better now. We got the tax cut. Everything should be jumping. And if it is, I would expect that retailers would be telling us that they're having a fabulous Christmas season, or a good Christmas season. Maybe not fabulous, but good. Better than expected. Something. I don't hear those reports. Maybe they're being made, but I haven't heard them, and I don't know where they're, if they have, I've missed them somehow, but I don't hear that retailers are saying, yeah, this is going to be a great Christmas for us. I don't hear that. Instead, we hear reports that after Christmas, hundreds of stores of different manufacturer, different outlets, retail outlets, are going to close. All of this, you know, this is the kind of information that strikes me as potentially real, something that you can look at and maybe you can rely on. And how do you know? Well, maybe it's because it's not being reported, as strange as that sounds. Here we are reporting it, but, you know, we're not major mainstream media. You would think, I would think, that retailers, if things are going great, optimism is up, people are buying more stuff, that should be, I should be able to catch wind of that in the news. Government should be bragging about it. Yay, yay, you know, happy days are here again. It seems to me if they're not singing happy days are here again, then maybe what they're really feeling is happy days are not here again. All right, so we'll watch and see, but, you know, I'm not trying to rain on anybody's parade or ruin somebody's Christmas, but I'm just saying, you know, this is evidence. This is evidence that you can look at, and you might weigh it too much, might weigh it too little, I don't know, but it's evidence that suggests things may not be as good as some people want you to believe. And that increased stress is perhaps more evidence of the same thing. It's evidence that there are people out there who are sufficiently sensitive to pick up on, oh my gosh, something's wrong. All right? Not everybody. We're talking about maybe 40% of the people. They're picking up, you know, there's something wrong. Well, that doesn't prove anything. But still, it's evidence that maybe something is wrong. And maybe we are getting close to that moment when all of a sudden major bubble bursts and we have trouble right here in River City. So, Melody, what's next?
You know, I was just reading about the with the new tax reform bill. It could hurt like Puerto Rico as they're trying to recover from the Hurricane Maria. I believe the final draft calls for like a 12.5% tax on any income that is generated from patents and licenses held by foreign companies outside the U.S. Under U.S. tax codes, companies in Puerto Rico are treated as foreign corporations, even if their parent organization is located in the mainland United States and they employ U.S. citizens. So they're going to get another, so some of their new tax takeaways was one of the few incentives they had left to kind of attract and retain companies if they were looking for low tax havens like Ireland. So, you know, Puerto Rico. So the mayor or the governor of Puerto Rico says this seems to be it's going to be a serious setback. And it kind of makes you wonder exactly, I mean, you know, no one talks about Puerto Rico. I don't know how far along they are in getting their power
restored. And
they
must be in big trouble.
Pardon?
That means they must be in big trouble if we're not hearing about it.
Yeah.
You know, no news is not necessarily good news.
That's fair.
Not when you have a controlled media. No news may be deceptive news, not necessarily good news. Puerto Rico, I think what they'll do is they'll make things bad enough in Puerto Rico where all the Puerto Ricans abandon the island and move to New York City, and then we can fill Puerto Rico with Muslims. We can bring Muslims in from the Middle East, and they can all live in Puerto Rico. What do you think about that, Melody?
No, I don't think that'll happen, but I think what they'll do
is you doubt me. You doubt my predictions, Melody.
You already have, 200,000 or more people left Puerto Rico, but what you'll find is you'll have large builders come in, build hotels.
Maybe.
They'll take over.
Maybe golf courses.
Maybe. Well, I don't know, but they'll take over the prime properties and so forth. And so, yeah, you'll see Puerto Rico get a new face. And that's what I would expect to happen there, because they can't build it on their own. Government already gave them, you know, $36+ billion, and we don't even know how much of that's going to be used to rebuild Puerto Rico.
It's the Puerto Rican politician evacuation fund. They're going to be able to move to Miami Beach with that money, maybe the Mediterranean. Who knows?
Well, they have the bonds that, you know, they have trouble with their debt, you know, so who knows? But so again, another troubled area that, you know, not very many people are talking about.
Here's an article from Jim Rickards, or excerpt from an article by Jim Rickards, in which he talks about there have been $1.4 trillion in attacks on the fiat dollar. And he says the United Kingdom, $18.7 billion betrayal. Join China's foreign exchange trade system to bypass the U.S. dollar and trade directly in sterling and yuan. That's one of these, what he calls, attacks. China, $100 billion attack. The Chinese official sector sold almost $100 billion in U.S. stocks over the past year. They've been reducing their treasury holdings. They've been secretly stockpiling hundreds of tons of high-purity gold bullion bars. He sees this. He describes it as a $100 billion attack. The United Kingdom, $18.7 billion betrayal. All right? And he's got others. He's got an Iran attack for $1.2 billion. South African attack, $2.5 billion. Hong Kong Monetary Authority in South Korea, $83 billion betrayal. Both have joined and expanded their roles in the Chiang Mai Initiative, which is a non-dollar currency swap. What all of these attacks are, these alleged attacks and alleged betrayals, is agreements being made by foreign countries in Europe and Asia where they are transacting without using the dollar, the fiat dollar. And India, $8.2 billion, Japan, $69 billion, Switzerland, $24 billion, Sweden, Norway, and Denmark, $2.5 billion, South Korea, $20 billion betrayal, Russia, $7.8 billion attack. They're trying to move away from quoting petroleum prices in U.S. dollars. The United Arab Emirates, $55 billion attack. The Chinese are trying to shoot for an alternative currency to the dollar. Saudi Arabia, $750 billion attack, threatening to take a $750 billion prop out from under the U.S. dollar if America doesn't meet its demands. Now, Saudi Arabia is the key player in at least initiating the petrodollar. All right, they were the first ones to come across it. We will only sell our crude oil for fiat dollars, and in doing so, they essentially backed the fiat dollar, which was no longer backed by gold. They gave it backing. It was petroleum. And other oil-producing nations did the same thing, and the dollar has been carried since 1971 because it's basically, it has been the primary currency for doing business. If you needed oil, and everyone does, this you had to have dollars. That's what created the perceived value of the dollar. Now, the total amount of this de-dollarization that Rickards is quoting is $1.14 trillion. That doesn't impress me as being all that much. That's about the size of the bonds that are being held by China. It's about the size of the student debt in the United States. It's significant, but it's not overwhelming. Nevertheless, when you see all of these nations that are making attempts to get away from the dollar, all right, and I don't regard them as attacks or betrayals. I don't believe the rest of the world has an obligation to use dollars. We have used the dollars, or our government has used the dollars to intimidate, coerce, and push other people around, other nations around. Some of those nations are now saying, enough. We don't have to use your dollars. We can get along without them. And it points to a moment when, an approaching moment when the world is going to, the weight of the world moving away from dollars may be enough to eliminate the petrodollar as a significant currency. That disappears, the value of the dollar will see significant, we should see significant inflation as the dollar is increasingly devalued. But here's another thing, here's another article, and this is from the next big future. And the article is entitled, U.S. Crude Oil Production Could Be More Than Saudi Arabia in January. And they point out that U.S. oil production in December 8th, the weekly oil production was 9.78 million barrels per day. The U.S. may end December with 9.9 million barrels per day. U.S. shales production is expected to rise for the 13th consecutive month to a new record in January. January output is forecast to increase by 94,000 barrels per day to 6.41 million barrels per day. This is for shale. This could put oil U.S. production at 10.1 million barrels per day. This will be more than Saudi Arabia, and it says the U.S. will likely add 1 million barrels per day in 2018 and will pass Russia's 11 million barrels per day. Russia is apparently the world's number one producer of crude oil at this point in time. Saudi Arabia has been number two. We are now passing Saudi Arabia. We're becoming number two. Russia's number one, and we expect to pass them. And according to this article, we expect to pass Russia sometime in 2018. Well, a lot of people are going to sit back and say, well, hooray, hooray, America's producing and selling oil again. Well, that's a good thing. I don't have a problem with it. But my recollection is that they essentially shut down the domestic oil production business back 20, 30 years ago. And I think maybe 40. But I think they shut it down as a concession to Saudi Arabia when they said, look, if you will guarantee that you will only sell your crude oil for fiat dollars, we will stop producing oil in the United States. We will restrict our production and foreign sales of oil in the United States. I suspect, I can't prove it, but I suspect that we're going to have a commercial. So I'll get back to what else I suspect about the fiat dollars and the relationship between petrodollars and petroleum in just a moment on Financial Survival. Please stay tuned. Would you tell me again? Oh, can you feel it? Oh, won't you tell me again tonight? Each and every heart is...
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today. today, complete with two Black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Haddisk here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival. I was talking about the attacks. We're talking about Jim Rickard's reports on multiple attacks on the dollar by a number of other foreign countries that are trying to remove themselves, trying to get away from transacting in terms of petrocurrency, in terms of the dollar for crude oil, for regular trade. They're entering into bilateral trade agreements, and they're trying to remove themselves from the dollar's former hegemony and control of trade on a global basis. And this seems to be fairly widespread, although the real number is over $1 trillion, is not overly impressive. It's not overwhelming at this time. But when we broke for the break, I was also pointing out that the United States may be the number one producer of crude oil in January of this of next year. Right? In just the next 2 months, we may become the number one producer of crude oil. And I'm discussing the possibility that the United States restricted the production of crude oil in this country after the dollar went pure fiat and we cut a deal with Saudi Arabia. They would only sell their crude oil for payments denominated in U.S. dollars, and we would guarantee their security. All right, that was essentially the deal. And later on, the other oil-producing nations went along with a similar agreement where they also said, okay, we'll only trade for dollars. Doing so, they created a demand for dollars that gave the dollar, which had become a pure fiat currency, it gave it a backing. It gave it an intrinsic or something like an intrinsic value. Some people had to have dollars to buy oil, therefore there was a demand for dollars, therefore the price of dollars, the value of dollars was supported. Right? Well, if we're going to start producing over 1 million barrels a day and soon surpass Russia's, we're going to add 1 million barrels a day and soon surpass Russia's 11 million barrels per day, and particularly surpass Saudi Arabia's 10 million barrels per day, is this going to make the Saudis angry? I mean, the deal on the petrodollar is, as I understand it, they would only sell their crude oil for fiat dollars, and we would protect them. And also, I think part of the deal was we would restrict American production. We're not restricting it right now. Do the Saudis feel betrayed? Are they angry? And what are they going to do? And if they do anything at all in retaliation, will this adversely affect the petrodollar? Are the Saudis going to do something that may say, hey, listen, we don't need petrodollars anymore? In which case, what happens to the fiat dollar? I think it has to just about disappear in inflation. At least that's a possibility. So I'm just looking at these two reports. One from James Rickards, where he says there's all these attacks on the dollar. Another one, we're producing more oil. And that is really, I can see how the Saudis would interpret that as an attack on Saudi Arabia. And they may retaliate. And both of these reports raise the possibility that sometime next year, maybe in the first half, we might see a significant change in how many countries use the dollar, how many of them rely on it. Now, they're not going to stop using the dollar. I don't expect that to happen. But the amount of trade that's conducted in dollars may diminish significantly, and what will be the effect on the petrodollar? And if the petrodollar becomes worth less, less demand for it, less requirement, becomes more, less valuable, it's devalued, it's inflated, what effect will that have on currency in this country? It looks to me like these reports suggest that maybe we're headed to significant inflation. Do you think that's credible, Melody?
Well, I think we're heading into significant inflation, but I mean, the Saudis already did attack. That's why oil went from $100 down to $25. Look at all the oil companies that went out of business here in the States, just as they were getting ready, primed up and doing well, going out, borrowing money and going deeper and deeper in debt. So to some degree, they already did make changes in order to put pressure on U.S. companies that were in there drilling and so forth. Perhaps that was a power play to say, see what we can do. You know, they're all strengthening their muscles. They're all flexing their muscles of what they can do, what they can control. Deals are going to be made. We have the Saudis that own one of the biggest refineries in Texas. I think it's the biggest refinery in the United States that they own. They're looking to bring Aramco public, so everybody's fighting for that. The U.S. wants to do that. So, I mean, deals are going to be made. Now, are these deals going to be good for the United States? You know, and is the U.S. late? Is the U.S. late to the game? I mean, we see changes. It's natural gas. It's the natural gas that seems to be the what everyone is going after. And, you know, is oil going to continue to play a very important part? Is the U.S. late to the game? But, you know, you have Energy Secretary Rick Perry. He's speaking to the Saudis about U.S. LNG exports. But they don't own any. I don't think the kingdom, they don't produce any oil and gas outside the Saudi Arabia's borders, and the kingdom doesn't import any natural gas or crude oil. So,
insofar as the U.S. government is producing more, we are competing with Saudi Arabia in a way that perhaps we haven't done.
And they showed us
for
what
the last
they did.
Several
they
decades.
They dropped the price of oil from $100 to $25.
And cut their nose off to spite their face.
They did. But you know what? Then they probably got a little bit more. They're probably a little bit bigger bully now than what they were before. And the U.S.
just be a little more.
And it's the same thing. We just need China to continue to buy our debt. You don't think the Saudis know about
petting? You know, it's like Rickards. He pointed out that the China has sold off $100 billion in bonds in the last year. That's not evidence that they're buying more. It's evidence that they're selling bonds into the market, trying to get out from under them. And there is, you know, we don't talk about it, but it's another one of these things that maybe makes people feel a little bit anxious. You know, in this period, there is evidence of a currency war that's taking place. It's kind of mysterious. It's not violent, and yet there are going to be significant consequences once this thing really moves from left to right or up to down or whatever it does.
I think what we're really experiencing, I mean, I agree with you. I think what we're experiencing is the globalization. Has all come together, and I really do believe they're everyone is jockeying for positions. Everyone is trying to flex their muscles, and we are going to see, I believe, major changes in everything, because you forget. I mean, these are like a separate tier, and then you still have all the economies, and we know the stimulus has been significant coming out of Europe, coming out of Japan, coming out of China. Even the U.S. basically still stimulates the, you know, our economy and so forth. But once those start, I mean, I don't know. But I know it's not good for the purchasing power of the U.S. dollar. That will be the thing that is impacted the most.
Yep. That's my point on this.
I mean,
we see evidence that suggests somebody's going to react in a way that's going to, you know, diminish purchasing power ultimately.
And that's what they'll use as their power. That's what they're going to use as their bargaining chip.
The question is, depending on who you're talking about, will they dare to use it? I mean, they'll threaten to use it. This is the kind of thing everybody may be jockeying for position, but everybody knows if anyone gets too far out of line, the whole system may collapse.
hey, look what that lead, look at the king did to all the other leaders and the prince. Look what they, and they're locked up in some hotel somewhere stealing their money.
Look, if they're locked up in a hotel, a good hotel over there, well, if they're locked up in a good hotel over there, call them up and tell them I'm doing the same thing the other princes were doing, and you can lock me up and get room service.
But I mean, he's taking their money, billions of dollars. He's paying people, they're paying ransom to get out. So I mean, he that guy's ruthless, and he won't stop.
But it's also evidence of instability. It's evidence of internal instability, and that points to the possibility of somebody doing something irrational or excessive. And once again, Saudi Arabia is probably the key oil-producing nation to maintaining the petrodollar, the value of the what value remains of the petrodollar. If Saudi Arabia walks away from the petrodollar and starts selling its oil and natural gas and whatever for euros or gold or whatever, that's going to be a hit. It can't pass without seeing the value of the dollar drop. Who knows, another percent or two? I don't know how much it's going to drop.
Who's the biggest debtor of all?
The government of the United States.
That means we have less bargaining power than any of them.
Yeah, I mean,
the only thing we have bigger than theirs is our military.
Yep.
And that I think China has come pretty far.
Yeah, but they have
on base, and we and the United States paid for it. So.
Yeah, and we're going to pay more for it before this is done.
Yep. Yep.
I mean, this is a problem you get into. This was such a brilliant and clever scheme to create these fiat dollars and go into a debt-based monetary system. And at the time, in 1970s, I don't doubt this seemed like really shrewd to the politicians and bankers and whoever that manipulated this deal and this concept. We would be able to essentially maintain something like a strong economy with just debt instruments, which could be written off. You can write them. It's like writing a check. Here's a check for 1,000. Here's a check for 5,000, 50,000, whatever. They're all just promises to pay, but we could hold the economy together with these mere promises rather than real production and real payments. It was perhaps, it had to be a temptation that was almost irresistible at the time in the 70s, and it's gotten out of hand. Now we're riding the tiger. How do we dismount without being eaten by the tiger? And that's where we are right now. We're in a situation where it can't continue, and yet if we stop with the fiat dollars, we are going to see this economy badly eroded for a number of years. And nobody wants to take responsibility for that erosion, so we keep riding the tiger, and the erosion continues to increase, or at least the potential for erosion increases. Sooner or later, it's going to hit the fan. Yeah? And everybody's trying to stay away from that hit the fan moment, but it's going to happen. And then what? You know, who's going to be blamed? I think that'll be the big question. Who's going to be blamed? Obama? Trump? Bush?
I think
Federal
it'll be
Reserve?
I think it'll be so devastating that, you know, none of the bankers and so forth ever get blamed for anything. It's usually just a situation that happened. Just like the, you know, look at the 2008. Did anybody get blamed? No. Oh, it was the housing market. It was some prime lenders.
Why do you think they don't get blamed?
It's just generic. Because, well, they create it and end it and start it all over again. They never get blamed.
Well, I think the reason is because the American people don't understand currency. They don't understand. It's like sending somebody down to take candy from a baby. Who do you blame for that? Well, whoever isn't protecting the baby is responsible. All right? We don't understand what the bankers do. We don't understand what money is or how to use it. If it spends, we think it's money.
I think people understand, but I also think they feel powerless to do anything about it. So they just, instead of protecting themselves with gold and silver, they do go along with the flow and they get caught up with it. And every time they get hammered, and they lose their purchasing power. They lose a little more. And once you lose it, once you lose large amounts and so forth, you rarely ever get it back.
Oh, I understand it. I think it was Buffett. He made the point, don't lose money. The key to investing is don't lose money, in his opinion, or at least certainly one of the keys. And what he means by that, you lose money, it's you can get by with your interest rates fall. You don't make as much as you thought you could, but you don't lose your principal because it's very difficult to generate principal in the first place. It requires real productivity, and it was one of his rules, don't lose money. Well, we're going to see that money is going to disappear, or presumed money, presumed wealth is going to disappear when you find out most of your paper investments are not in a form of money to begin with. They are in a currency different from money. They are debt instruments rather than assets. When they disappear, it'll be like David Copperfield making a 100-ton vehicle disappear. It's a trick. It's magical. It's mysterious. It's amazing. But when it's gone, it's gone, and just poof, presto, gone. Bye-bye. So, got to protect yourself. If you agree with our analysis, you've got to protect yourself, and one of the ways you can do that is gold and silver. We're out of time. I want to thank all of you for listening. Melody and I will be back tomorrow. In the meantime, the good Lord bless you and me and Melody and Todd, our producer, who's got to hit the bumper music about 5 seconds early.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Thank you, Todd. Bye-bye.
I work all night, I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay.
Ain't it sad?
And still there never seems to be a single penny left for me.
That's too bad.
In my dreams.